I mean, we're playing the Friday Open because it's kind of like a Friday, right? It's a last day before. I'm assuming most people listening here are having, you know, a few days off. July 4th, 4th of July, Independence Weekend coming up here around the nation. Western New York, Buffalo. Hey, there's Danny Gare behind me. Danny, what's up? How are you? There he is, Danny Gare, number 18. I am down at Lee-Com Harbor Center here for the Sabres Development Camp. Sal Capaccio with you. What's going on, Danny? Maybe Danny will join me for a minute. I'm live. I'll do this right away. Hold on, Paul. I'm going to get to Paul Hamilton. He can wait for number 18, Danny Gare. What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you. I know you're here. Sometimes you're down in Florida. You come up for this a lot or what?
Well, I came back about a month ago. I spend time in the summers here with my family and usually pop down. Last year I was here because I like to, you know, say hi to the boys and see what's going on and just check up. And it's great to see the crowd here and a little cooler in here too. So
it is for sure. When you came to the Buffalo Sabres,
yeah.
What was it like for you to your entry point into the team, into the league? Like here they have these development camps. These guys come in. What was it like for you back then?
Well, we used to have our training camp in St. Catharines, Ontario, and we was 100 guys, you know, rookies, whoever wasn't making the team that at that time, any team, tryout players, so forth, so on. But then after, you know, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks of camp, they broke camp with 30 guys, and we came to Buffalo. And my first roommate when I came to Buffalo was Peter McNabb. And we stayed at the old Statler, and he had a dog. It was interesting. His dog was with him. He named it Sunshine. It was the name of the dog, and it was a big collie. But we had little room, and his dog kept jumping up and down. And I said, Maxie, can we just, you know, get this dog out of here for a bit? But, no, it was great, and I ended up making the team, and we had a great year that year, went on to the finals. And it was just a good experience, but a lot different than it is now.
No doubt. And one of the things that's different, I mean, you guys had some success right away with those teams. Obviously, this team, 14 years out of the playoffs. How close do you think they are, Danny?
Better. I mean, better. I know that it was frustrating. I thought last year, and I sent Lindy a text when they won the 3 games out west. I think it was, I don't know, late October maybe. And then they went on that 13-game drought after that. And that was the downside, obviously, of the whole season. But I think, you know, what they're trying to do here is continue to build. It's all you can do. I mean, it's a team that I think has got some skill up front, obviously, and their back end, I think it, you know, is suspect at times, but I think with Power, you know, if he can play better down the road, and Darlene's, you know, he's an all-star. But with this Kessel Ring, the kid they got from, you know, Utah, I watched him play in the World Championships. I thought he was really good. I really did. And we'll see what happens in the net. So, yeah.
Hey, listen, I didn't mean to put you on the
no
spot.
Problem.
Thanks for walking over.
No problem, sir.
Great to see you. To all right, you got Max down there. You see Max is getting big. Max, say hi to Danny Gare right there.
Max is getting big.
I love bringing my son to read this. Yeah. This is cool for them to see the skill up here. You know what I mean?
Nah, it is. I mean, these kids, 3-on-3 is always so much fun. I remember playing when we had practices. It was so much fun, you know, wide open ice, lots of room, and it really shows off your skill and speed and quickness. So, yeah, it's great to see, and it's like I say, it's got a nice crowd to watch.
Good. Hey, tickets, Danny Gare. Be well, buddy. Right, great to see you, as always. Yeah, have a great summer. Danny Gare, how about that? Like, just walking right by me here as I'm at the Lee-Com Harbor Center. You never know who you're going to run into here at Sabres Development Camp, Prospect Camp, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you, Sal Capaccio. It is a bit chilly, and I said yesterday, I was thinking about it. Every year, I love to bring my son down here for the 3-on-3 challenge, the scrimmage. And you got a good crowd here today. A lot of kids in attendance. It's really cool to see. This is a fantastic place to watch hockey. It really is. And now that I'm a hockey dad, what a move right there. I'm watching this game as it's going on in front of me. I mean, now that I'm a hockey dad and my son's been playing hockey, you just know how passionate people are about, you know, hockey in Western New York at the younger ages. You love to see it, even though this team has not had the success that we'd love to see for some of these youngsters. It's great to see them out here and watching these young Buffalo Sabres. In the meantime, Paul Hamilton is literally probably 25 yards from me, and he's going to be, but he's not sitting next to me, but he's still going to talk to me here because he's down there. That's the beauty of technology. So Paul Hamilton joins me right now on the Western Hotline here inside the same building as me. Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm extremely upset. How could you preempt me for a guy who's his jersey in the rafters?
I know.
I mean, you would rather talk to a guy with his jersey in the rafters who scored 50 goals in the National Hockey League?
I tell you, and I joke with Danny. I have a good enough relationship where I can joke with him, and he laughs. I say, Danny, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they retired your number, but not until after Paul Sear wore it. Okay, let's be honest with you.
And or obviously, Kevin O'Shea, if you want to go back to year one.
Okay.
Right, hey, the kid from Clarence Center just scored. McCarthy.
Oh yeah, that's right. Paul, why are there the guys we're talking in the morning show? Why is this a little bit scaled down as far as roster and number of players in this camp? Oh, another nice goal
there's
right there.
Zimmer
that was scored
shot.
By
Zimmer.
That's Brody Zimmer.
He has a bazooka for a shot. Played at Minnesota this year, third round pick, and just has an unbelievable shot. He ripped one off the crossbar earlier before you came on the air, but that's his weapon. And he's one of the guys that played at University of Minnesota as a true freshman. That doesn't happen that much anymore. When I was in college, yes, mm-hmm. it happened a lot, but it rarely happens. I think all the years I covered Niagara hockey doing games, I saw one true freshman. Usually they play in the USHL in junior before they come to. So that means, too, he's playing against guys who are 4 or 5 years older than him, you know, as a true freshman at Minnesota. But that's his weapon. The thing we were talking about yesterday, we were talking to him, he, Kleber, who was a second-round pick, that big right-handed shot defenseman, and Schultz all played Pee-wee together. They're all on the same team.
You know what you also don't see? A lot of guys, if they're good enough to go to the league, they're not there all 4 years in college like Ryan Johnson, right? You know what I mean? You're right about the freshmen, but a lot of these guys, they're good enough. They don't stay all 4 years. That happened. I think Devin Levi was all 4 years, right? I think that's how he was.
Three.
No, did he say three? Okay, three. Even though he had all the accolades, obviously, but there you go. That's a great example as well. I want to talk about what Kevin Adams said yesterday. We had you on before the scrum, and then you heard the scrum, and of course, Paul has an article at WGR550.com. But before I do that, let me ask you one more time. Do you, because I don't want to lose my train of thought, what is the reason did they give for not having as many players here in this particular prospect camp as normal?
That started, Mertka just lost the puck on a breakaway this year's number one pick. Big mm-hmm. kid, he can
move. He skates well for a big guy, by the way.
Yeah, he does. I saw him lead I haven't forgotten your question. I saw him lead a 3-on-2, and it didn't work out, and he got back in a hurry and was able to get back and break up a play, which impressed me. Now, it started, remember when the Amherst made the conference final a couple of years ago? And it's like, mm-hmm. we don't want to make these kids come to, you know, this camp when they basically just finished up less than a month ago. So it kind of started with that. Most of the Amherst, if not all, who are prospects have been to this camp before. Comp is the only one here, and he was the guy they signed out of college right near the end of the year last year. So he's never been to one of these, and that's why he's here. So they have fewer guys that come to it. Like, this 3-on-3 has always been three teams. And they've easily been able to ice three teams where one team would be watching and it'd be a round robin. Now, this had 30 minutes on. It's running time. I'm guessing we're going to play two 30-minute halves, you know, with two teams here.
I was told that because when I set up here and said, hey, you know, what's the timing here? And I was told two 30-minute halves will have a bit of an intermission in between. They might want to clean the ice. I'm not really sure how much
they're
going to do
that.
And then, but you're right, Paul. What I remember is blue, gold, and white they had for the team jerseys. And they would go have a few different games.
Yeah, no, they'd have a round robin, then a semifinal and a final. You know, you know, they would do so. One team would get a bye. The other two teams would play in the semifinal. And then they would play the final. So, they have scaled it down. But a lot of it is they feel also that it's more important for guys to get, you know, get their rest, get home, get into their summer routines. A lot of them are in routines, whether it's with skating coaches or goaltending coaches, those types of things, strength and conditioning. They don't want them to miss that kind of stuff, especially if their seasons or they play in the Memorial Cup late. That's also come into play a couple of times. They would rather they get their off season. They believe in, yes, get some rest to start with. Maybe take a vacation and get yourself into your summer training program. They think that's more beneficial for them.
Paul Hamilton in the Westshore Hotline, but not far from me here at Lecom Harbor Center. We are down here for Sabres Prospect Camp. It's the scrimmage to end the week of camp. Kevin Adams spoke with the media yesterday. Paul, you were part of that scrum. We knew that Bo Byram's situation would be top of mind and really the first question asked. He didn't give anything. He did give one thing definitive. He didn't obviously give an update on anything as far as any trade progress or anything like that, but he did specifically say they will match any offer given to Bo Byram. What did you think about his definitive answer to that?
Yeah, and there was no gray area. We are matching if it happens. I mean, so there was no gray area, no conspiracy theory, no. I mean, it was. This is what we are doing should it happen. This is why we did certain things with our salary cap. So they can't do, remember Kokakamemi went from Montreal to Carolina. They did something with the first year of the contract that was like way, way overpaid. So they overpaid him first year knowing that Montreal couldn't. And then they redid a contract afterwards because it was only a 1 year deal, as I recall, I think, as we're sitting here talking. And then the contract that he actually signed was more in line with what you – but that's how they got him away from. So they wanted enough salary cap space that if somebody were to try to do that to the Sabres, they wouldn't be able to pull it off. The Sabres would have enough salary cap room that they could do that, they could match that. Because they don't want futures. They don't want a first, second, third round pick or a first and third. They want players. So, all right, if you match and there still needs to be a trade, at least there's certainty on what the other team is going to have to pay, what kind of contract they're talking, if a trade is still on the table. So, but there was no gray area at all. It was, we are definitely matching any offer sheet.
Okay, so the next question is, how much of that is a message to teams who might offer him, and how much of that is actually truth? I mean, look, I'm not saying he's lying, but, you know, he's trying to send a message. I guess I ask this because I'm still wondering if he's just trying to make sure and pressure a team into saying, look, if you really want him, you got to trade for him because we're going to match an offer sheet. And that kind of puts another team in a different position. Or do you really believe, hey, it does not matter what the offer sheet is? Because let's be honest, Paul, there is an offer sheet scenario out there that the Sabres may say there's just no way we think that that's valuable for Bo Byram.
Well, they have enough room that they could max his contract and they could match it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they talk about when they have it. He would look like a fool if he's playing games here. He would look like an absolute fool. I mean, his credibility, whatever it is now, would be zero if an offer sheet came and they didn't match it because of the way he put it. He didn't leave a gray area. He didn't say we most likely. He said we will match any offer sheet, and that's why we set up our, so that's what I'm talking about is conspiracy theories. He would look like an absolute fool if he didn't match it.
Do you think there are teams, A, that are still in negotiations for a trade for Bo Byram, and B, teams that are seriously contemplating an offer sheet for Bo Byram?
Oh yeah, there are talks. You know me, I'm not a big, huge believer in these offer sheet things when they come up because they so rarely happen. There were two last year, both by St. Louis, and the reason there were two is they went after Edmonton knowing that they couldn't match because of their salary cap. So it's just so rarely done. I know we have to talk. I wish it was done more. I wish teams would use it because I think it is a tool for teams to help them get better. But they just don't. So I don't get too tied up and worried about offer sheets. And I don't think teams needed Kevin Adams to tell them that he would match. I think it was widely assumed the Sabres would match any offer sheet, but he was asked the question, so he answered it. You know, and he answered it in a very definitive way.
Paul Hamilton of the Western Hotline. They are now cleaning the ice, as we suspected, in between the two 30-minute periods. So we have a little bit of time here. We'll have another 30-minute period. The score is now 5-2. The gold is beating the blue. Looking over some of the roster here. Only two goalies at this. There are five. Okay, so three for one team, two for another. And Retzlaff's been around a little while, Scott. Scott Retzlaff, Paul. He's been around a little while in the organization.
Yeah, Retzlaff was in net for the gold team. Surrendered two shots on two goals on 23 shots, so he made 21 saves. You might remember last year, as he put it, it was the Buffalo Amherst playing in the preseason because the Buffalo Sabres were abroad, spending preseason in Germany, and then played the two games against the Devils in Czechia. So it had to be the Amherst playing the preseason games. And he went to Columbus, and he said he looked on the internet in the morning and saw he was playing the Columbus Blue Jackets pretty much, except maybe for two or three players. He was playing the Blue Jackets team. So it's like, okay, kid, you're from the Western Hockey League in junior. Go to it. And that's what he said. He goes, I just sat there and said, you know what? I got nothing to lose. Just go play. And he played 40 minutes and shut him out. You know, and really played very, very well. Yeah. So, and plus he's been in Rochester for a couple of weeks after his season in Seattle ended. So he was able, as the Amherst were preparing for the playoffs, to practice with them, see what a pro team is about, see what Rochester's about, since that's likely where he'll be with Levi. And, you know, so that gives him a little bit of jump start. It's not going to all be new to him when he shows up there. So he had a, you know, in a three-on-three, you're going to get scored on a little bit. And he got scored on right away by Jake Richard. But 21 saves, did a pretty good job. I don't know if you realize this, Sal, as you look at the rosters, there may be a name you recognize. Remember way back in the 90s, the Tampa Bay Lightning had a young lady in goal who played a preseason for them.
Menon Rayom.
That's her son, Dakota Rayom Mullen.
Really?
Playing for Team
that
Gold.
That is a great piece of trivia.
Yeah, that is his son out there, or her son out there.
I did not know that.
Makes me feel old. Marty was here yesterday actually texting with her, seeing if she was going to be here. She's not. But, yeah, that's her son out there.
I do remember that. That was, like, I think it was my freshman year of college at Syracuse. I remember that she was on the cover of a magazine, and she was a lot of talk, obviously a female professional goalie. She kind of paved the way a lot for, you know, what's happening now and the real incredible explosion of women's hockey, obviously, around the world, in particular here in the United States and even in Buffalo. So, yeah, very cool. That's a really good piece of trivia right there. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, yesterday, I had a good discussion / debate with a bunch of people online about the Bo Byram situation. I think you and I are aligned here. They don't need prospects. They don't need, you know, a first-round pick. What has that gotten them over the years? But the pushback I got from people, and I want to run this by you, is, but Sal, their prospect pool isn't as good anymore as it was a few years ago. They don't have anybody in the pipeline. And guess what? It doesn't appear they're going to be really climbing up the standings. So why not just let Bo Byram go for, let's say, a first and a third, if that's what the offer sheet is? I disagree with that, but that is the pushback that I got, and a good, I think, discussion about this.
Yeah, no, that's totally wrong. GMs are constantly calling about the Sabres prospects. Adams mm-hmm. gets calls daily, some of the prospects that they have, especially Noah Ostlund, Hellenius, mm-hmm. who really came on at the end of last year as a young 18-year-old. He played in the American Hockey League as an 18-year-old, and he had to learn North American hockey. And he really came on and was putting up some points near the end. Same thing with Noah Ostlund. He was great. And when Noah Ostlund came to Buffalo for that little bit, I thought he played very well. He couldn't buy a goal. He had some opportunities. But I liked his overall two-way play. I think the two Russian defensemen are both going to be guys who can be in the NHL. One of the reasons, you know, there was a lot of hand-wringing about Bernard Docker, and I think one of the reasons is I think Lindy Ruff is more into maybe having Ryan Johnson around. Ryan Johnson, talking to Mike Leone,
yes,
who was his coach a couple of days ago, said Ryan Johnson, along with Jack Rathbone, were the shutdown pair for them. And as I was watching them in the playoffs, I had an opportunity to see that. He really came forward last year and had a good year of development. So it seems to me that maybe he's ahead of Bernard Docker and Bryson and those guys. And right now, I don't have Byram in my lineup. I do have Johnson, you know, as the guy. Now, if Byram signs some type of a contract and is there for day one, then Samuelson is probably on the third pair with Timmins. But if Byram's there, then Samuelson's probably with Dahlin, and I think Johnson is that then in the lineup for Buffalo. I think he would be the number six guy.
I, I was going to ask you about Johnson because I agree. It feels to me like this team thinks Ryan Johnson's going to be on this roster and a contributor this year.
And, you know, the two defensemen, second-round picks that we talk about, are also, you know, they're in college. So fans maybe who don't think the prospect pool is there anymore don't get a chance to see Adam Kleber, who is huge. I was watching him out here today a little bit, following him. I love the fact that the Sabres this year, you know, drafted or had a nifty Russian here that they have. A nifty player, I'll just put it that way, here in Zelenov. I was searching for his name. And, of course, you know, Kleber's his big man and everything. He had no problem with him whatsoever one-on-one. Easily rode him off into the wall. Wasn't fooled by any of the speed or the moves or anything like that. And, you know, I was very impressed by that, you know, going up against a nifty player like that. And, you know, so, you know, here's a guy who was drafted in the second round, right-handed shooting defenseman in 2024. We talked about Zimmer, the third-round pick as a true freshman at Minnesota. If he wasn't a good player, he wouldn't be playing as a true freshman at the University of Minnesota. And then the year before that, there's two second-round picks, Anton Wahlberg, who I still think is a good prospect in Rochester, and Maxim Sturbik, another big right-handed shooting defenseman who plays at Michigan State. So, you know, the cupboard is not bare. You know, I take a look at Isak Rosanne. I'm not sure that's a guy that is going to make it or not. I just haven't been overly impressed when he's wound up in Buffalo. I think this is a big year for him, maybe a make it or break it year for him. As far as, you know, is he going to be an NHL player? Is he not? So, no, I would not go along with the prospect pool is empty.
And then Alex Tuch, his situation, Paul. It is past July 1st, obviously. We're here at the 3rd of July. He is eligible to sign an extension with the Sabres. He has 1 year left in his deal. What did Kevin Adams say, if anything, about that situation?
He's talked to the agent, and, you know, he said he's told the agent in no uncertain terms how they feel about Alex Tuch. How important he is to them. It didn't need to be done today, yesterday, or today. So, you know, they needed to get themselves through free agency, and there are a lot of trade calls that come around and before and after free agency. So, you know, that's something I think that is going to be picked up very soon, but get through this part of, you know, what they were trying to do, and then start, you know, getting down to brass tacks with that. But, they, you know, they have made contact, but it's just, you know, the key negotiations are still to come.
That horn means you are off the clock, Paul Hamilton. I'll let you go watch the next 30 minutes. Listen, have a great 4th of July weekend and, you know, into next week. I'll be headed to Italy next week. I don't know how much you and I are going to be talking, but I will see you at training camp when I get back. I'm positive of that. In the meantime, thanks a lot this week. I know you've been all over and doing a lot, so I really appreciate your time, man.
You're not going to be doing your show from Italy?
You know what? I don't think so. You never know what happens when you're out in good old Italy.
I don't think your wife would be too pleased about that if you're doing.
She may say no. You go ahead and do that. I am walking this direction or that direction. Listen, I will tell you. Several years ago, I was maybe 10, 15 before Max was born, actually. And I always say, if you walked in a different direction every day, you would still see the most amazing, oldest, incredible stuff you've ever seen in your life. Unbelievable when you go to Europe and see that.
Yeah, I'd love to be there, get to Italy sometime.
All right, buddy. Hey, enjoy your weekend and the rest of the prospect camp today. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, have fun there. We'll see you after we get back.
All right, Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. He is literally standing several feet from me. But he is here watching prospect camp as another goal is scored by the Gold, who now take a 6-2 lead. Matt Bove is literally standing next to me, so he's going to join me here next on it's always game day in Buffalo. We host that show together, but this is the Extra Point Show here on WGR. Back after this.